The following podcast contains mature language and discussions that are not suitable for younger audiences. The opinions voiced in this podcast are our own. We are not experts on the topic we present, but have conducted our own research. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, and welcome back to the Strange and Undecided podcast. I'm your host, Jarrett. Joined by my co-host,
Patrick.
Welcome back, everyone.
Today, we have a very special episode for you people.
I feel like you always say that at the beginning of all of our episodes.
Today, I always have no clue what we're talking about, but today I really have no clue. I have not even a hint of what we're talking about.
Well, we're doing something a little different than we normally do. We are looking at a very strange and mysterious medical case in Canada.
Very strange and undecided.
That's right.
Maybe we'll decide. That is the premise of the show.
For sure. Anyway, sorry for taking last week off. I had some stuff I had to deal with and I didn't have enough time to put the proper amount of effort into the show. So I didn't want to put out something that was not up to the standard that I want it to be. All right. Without further ado, let's begin. In January of 2019, patients were told they had a novel brain disease. This occurred in a cluster of individuals exhibiting similar signs and symptoms in the eastern province of New Brunswick, Canada. The symptoms fell under the umbrella of dementia and prion disease, but were tested and determined not to be either. So was this a new brain disease, or was there something else to blame?
Is this about people smoking too much weed?
No.
Okay, because I heard something recently about that. There's like a new type of syndrome that's happening because people are smoking too much weed.
Oh, no, I've never heard that. That's interesting, though. Back in 2019, multiple healthcare professionals began observing a suspicious increase in the number of patients experiencing what they described as an atypical, rapidly progressing dementia.
For those who don't know what dementia is, it is more of an umbrella term for the impaired ability to remember, think, or make decisions that can interfere with performing everyday activities. The symptoms observed in patients began with muscle pain or spasms and progressed to having trouble with basic tasks like reading. For many patients, this progressed to dementia. These symptoms observed by doctors were consistent with a rare prion disease called Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome, or CJD, which is a neurodegenerative disorder which leads to dementia and is fatal.
For the people who've never heard of prion disease, can you describe that for us?
So prion diseases are diseases that affect both humans and animals, and they can sometimes spread to humans through infected meat products. These cases were popping up so rapidly that they were referred to the Creutzfeldt-Jakob Disease Surveillance System, or CJDSS unit, which provides surveillance for, quote, all types of human prion diseases in Canada, end quote. And it operates under the umbrella of the Public Health Agency of Canada, or PHAC. CJDSS Director Michael Coulthart worked with the referring doctor, a neurologist named Dr. Alier Marrero, who practiced in Moncton, New Brunswick. The CJDSS noticed that there was a higher than expected number of these alleged CJD cases coming out of only New Brunswick, which had, quote, some common symptoms and similar potential diagnostic profiles to CJD.
The CJDSS ended up ruling out CJD, as well as any other prion diseases, as they are very definitive in their testing.
Despite this negative result, quote, these referrals represented a cluster of cases that were worth further investigation, end quote. At this point in time, a federal provincial team came together and began investigating the cases and suspected a novel or new neurological degenerative disease was on the rise and was being caused by some sort of toxin or chemical. In December of 2020, 33 patients were identified as having something that, quote, looked like CJD, but was not. The working name was adopted in January of 2021. Called the New Brunswick Neurological Syndrome of Unknown Cause. And by the spring of 2021, the number of patients had grown to 48. In terms of the investigation performed, By the end of May, the province opened a dedicated clinic at Moncton Hospital for the affected patients called the Special Neurodegenerative Disorder Clinic, or MIND Clinic, as it was called, and had Dr. Marrero as its lead. To summarize, it was severely understaffed, and Marrero ended up seeing patients at a different hospital due to little to no support. The clinic had a total of 81 registered patients. The original 48 were the only ones to be included later on in an enhanced epidemiological survey. Health Minister of New Brunswick, Dorothy Shepherd, stated, "Those first 48 are going to help us determine the path we need to go forward with, either a potential diagnosis or the potential of going forward with an unknown neurological syndrome."
The first 48, always important. If you wait more than 48 hours after a crime, it's like unlikely to be solved.
Right. In March of 2021, Dr. Marrero indicated that the initial symptoms were nonspecific and made diagnosis very difficult. Symptoms might include behavioral changes, sleep disturbances, unexplained pain, visual hallucinations, coordination problems, unexplained hair loss, involuntary muscle twitching, formication.
With an M, we need to distinguish that.
Which is a sensation that feels like small insects are crawling under your skin. Ataxia, this is the loss of coordination and muscle control, and brain atrophy. So this is a pretty wide range, if I'm honest. In April, the New Brunswick Public Health Unit website listed the symptoms as follows: memory problems, muscle spasms, balance issues, difficulty walking, falling, blurred vision, visual hallucinations, unexplained or significant weight loss, behavior changes, and pain in the upper and lower limbs. Also a very wide range of symptoms.
This could be anything.
As an example, I'm going to talk about some of the individuals affected and what their symptoms are. Just a heads up, the conditions are quite unsettling. One case involved a man developing symptoms of dementia and ataxia. His wife, who was caring for him, began losing sleep and started experiencing a decrease in muscle tissue. She also experienced dementia as well as hallucinations. Her condition ended up being worse than her husband's. Another example is a woman in her 30s was being described as nonverbal. She had a feeding tube and drooled excessively. A nursing student in her 20s was caring for her and started exhibiting symptoms of neurological decline. Finally, a young mother lost nearly 60 pounds rapidly. She developed insomnia and began hallucinating. Scans of her brain clearly showed advanced signs of degeneration.
At this point in time, it almost seems like the disease is contagious, but researchers into the case had no idea what was going on at the time.
There are various other sources that indicate a myriad of symptoms ranging all over the board, so you can begin to see how difficult it is to pinpoint some commonality or relationship between these patients, but somehow experts identified a link between these patients and wanted to conduct an investigation.
Does your research state how rapidly these symptoms are progressing?
There wasn't an exact timeline for the individuals, but it just indicated that it was much quicker than what you would typically see.
Okay, it shall remain a mystery for now.
In terms of the kinds of people affected by this mysterious syndrome, there were no observed differences between the number of men and women. It affected them both equally. What was most shocking was that it affected people of all age groups. Typically, when I think of neurological disorders like this, I tend to think immediately of elderly people, not people close to middle age or younger. The median age of patients was only 40 years old, with the youngest affected patient being as young as 18 and the oldest being around 86.
We do not discriminate here.
In terms of geographic distribution, the only place the syndrome had been identified in was the province of New Brunswick as of April 2021. 35 cases were from the Acadian Peninsula and 8 cases were from the Moncton region, and 1 case was from an undisclosed origin. At this point in time, it seems like something strange is happening and people are getting sick as a result.
By April 2021,
6 people had died and it was linked to the disease. However, New Brunswick Public Health said that, quote, "In some cases, additional information is needed to determine if the cause of death was a result of the syndrome. In March of 2021, New Brunswick's chief medical officer, Jennifer Russell, said at a press conference that, quote, it most likely is a new disease. We haven't seen this anywhere else. And so it is of unknown etiology, but the symptoms are very much like CJD. For those who don't know, etiology is the cause of a disease. However, for other health professionals on the federal and provincial levels, the working name for the disease was, quote, undiagnosed neurological syndrome or syndrome of unknown cause. So they seem pretty hesitant to say that it was a novel brain disease. The Public Health Agency of Canada was able to determine in May of 2021 that the syndrome was not genetic in nature, stating, primary data shows that the disease is not genetic and could be contracted from water, food, or air.
You're not safe. Literally anything.
It could be anything. Other possibilities include an environmental toxin similar to domoic acid, which caused the Canadian amnesic shellfish poisoning cases in 1987, or beta-methylamino-L-alanine, or BMAA.
We got to cover this amnesia shellfish case.
Yeah, we might have to. Later in May, a report indicated that one of the toxins to be investigated was BMAA, a neurotoxin which is produced by cyanobacteria, also called blue-green algae, which is found in freshwater and terrestrial environments. There are numerous research articles demonstrating the role BMAA has in degenerative neurological diseases. Blue-green algae has also been shown to be spreading in New Brunswick waterways. Another potential source had already been identified by Dr. Marrero. In a letter sent to the leading health officials in Canada and New Brunswick, he stated, quote, recent laboratory tests on a number of patients showed clear signs of exposure to glyphosate, as well as other compounds linked to herbicides, adding that many of those tested had levels many times over the detection limit.
For those that don't know what glyphosate is, it's a widely used herbicide that can kill different weeds and grasses and is heavily used in the forestry industry.
There are numerous research articles as well that state glyphosate has been shown to cause damage to human health, leading to cancer as well as neurodegeneration. Dr. Marrero also stated that along with numerous tests, extensive lifestyle questionnaires aimed at unearthing a common environmental link would be crucial to the investigation. Minister Shepherd set up an enhanced epidemiological review to investigate the unknown brain syndrome. The purpose of this review was to explore potential risk factors and exposures through an epidemiological enhanced survey. The survey consisted of a questionnaire and was conducted by telephone by public health nurses from May through September. As stated earlier, six people had died potentially from this mystery brain disease. Two additional people had passed away after April of 2021, bringing the total now to eight. A neuropathologist named Gerard Jansen of the University of Ottawa was tasked with performing autopsies on the deceased. In May of 2021, Jansen had performed autopsies on five patients and said he was able to diagnose them completely and that he had reviewed patient files for members of the cluster as part of his PHAC contract. Jansen didn't reveal his findings yet as the other autopsies still had to be performed.
I have a question for you. This mystery disease overlaps with the COVID-19 pandemic, which started in November, December 2019.
Like when it was officially announced or when it was...
Yeah, like the first cases. Anyway, my question is, did they notice cases dropping when we were forced into lockdown for the COVID-19 pandemic?
No. According to Dr. Marrero, there has been a steady increase and it hasn't faltered.
Interesting. Very interesting. This leads me to believe that it's not transmittable from human to human.
No, and that was something that they looked at to see if it was contagious or not. And they found that, again, there was no genetic cause, which I did mention earlier, but they also found that it was not contagious. But I think at this point in the investigation, they weren't sure and they were trying to find all possibilities.
Okay, let's carry on. We'll see what other clues we can uncover.
By the end of August, Dr. Jansen published the results of the eight autopsies on the Canadian Association of Neuropathologists website. He also presented his findings to 20 to 30 colleagues, where he stated that the eight patients previously diagnosed with this novel neurological syndrome, quote,
represent a group of misclassified diagnoses,
and that they died from a variety of causes, including cancer, dementia, Alzheimer's disease, frontotemporal degeneration, and vascular disease. In these 8 patients, no evidence for a prion disease was found, nor novel pathology. Janssen's autopsy results were subsequently posted by the media. The leaked sources were unknown. And quite shockingly, this information made it to the media before it did family members, Public Health Agency of Canada, or Dr. Marrero. None of these people were consulted about the findings.
Yikes, this is turning into a case of mass hysteria.
Could be. New Brunswick Public Health obtained Dr. Janssen's autopsy reports in late September. Approximately 1 month later, a press conference was held on October 27th, 2021 by Minister Shepherd, where she stated that the New Brunswick Public Health report on the mystery brain syndrome had ruled out blue-green algae, contaminated shellfish, as well as pesticides as the causes. The report concluded that, quote, no specific behaviors, foods, or environmental exposures can be identified as potential risk factors with regards to the identified cluster of cases with a potential neurological syndrome of unknown cause. So at this point, they are ruling different causes out, and the province established an oversight committee earlier in June, consisting mainly of neurologists that were tasked with investigating the syndrome. The committee's job was to provide a second opinion of Dr. Marrero's work by thoroughly examining the case files of the 48 cluster patients that had been identified in April of 2021. The case reviews began officially in August of 2021. It is important to note they found that all but 2 of the cases were referred by a single neurologist, and neurologists from across the country were asked to report similar cases, but there were none to date. In February of 2022, the case reviews ended, and on February 24th, 2022, the Oversight Committee unanimously agreed on the following conclusion. Findings from the detailed review of the reported cases by the Oversight Committee found that the people who were part of this cluster displayed symptoms that varied significantly from case to case, and there was no evidence of a shared common illness or of a syndrome of unknown cause. No individual met the case definition established by the main referring physician and the Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease surveillance system. Additionally, extensive interviews conducted with the suspect cases or their proxies did not identify any specific behaviors, foods, or environmental exposures that can be identified as potential risk factors. Basically, they said there was no such thing as this disease.
So basically, this one neurologist, he's making up these diseases.
No, so he, along with other people in this case, have discovered this. It's not just him identifying all these cases. There's other people that are involved as well, but he has kind of taken the lead on everything as he has seen the most amount of patients. He ends up being the scapegoat in this case. He was the one that had the most invested into this, and he was the one who sent the letters to Public Health asking for their help because he noticed this was happening. So it kind of all falls back on him, and the finger pointing ends up being on him.
Okay. So far, we don't know if his intention was integrous, though. Did he genuinely think there was a new disease, or was his motives somewhat questionable?
According to interviews with him, he wants nothing more than to help patients. He's not looking for any kind of fame from this or attention drawn to him. He just wanted to help people, and he made an observation and wanted to do something about it.
All right, we'll keep an open mind about this guy.
Patients in the cluster who were still alive, keep in mind at this point, by February of 2022, 10 people had died. These patients that were still alive were not happy with the announcement that the investigation was being shut down. They still didn't have answers for what was affecting them or their loved ones. Patients were given a list of possible diseases and syndromes that could be affecting them, which, while it may seem like an answer, did not give them a definitive diagnosis. Many of the diseases and syndromes on the list had already been ruled out by Dr. Marrero in testing he did months and even years prior. So now I want to take a little bit of a different perspective here and look at some areas that I found quite interesting in terms of the decisions made. Early on, when this issue began to arise with patients, CBC noted that there was a lack of information from New Brunswick Public Health in regards to the cluster of potentially affected people. This could just mean that New Brunswick Public Health didn't want to jump the gun and announce anything, but at the time of CBC's report, it's April 20th, New Brunswick Public Health had not, quote, provided any public updates or held information sessions in the affected communities or elsewhere, and had not issued any news releases regarding the mystery disease cases. It also has not said where specifically any of the cases were identified. As of April 7th, 2021, multiple families were interviewed and they were all incredibly frustrated by the wall of silence on the mystery brain disease. Next, as I had stated earlier, Dr. Marrero suggested that environmental factors could be the cause of the unknown brain syndrome, such as blue-green algae or glyphosate. New Brunswick Public Health said they ruled these out. However, sources indicate that field research into the potential environmental causes was never conducted. How are you able to rule out something if you haven't even physically tested it? There has never been an answer for what is making people sick. Forget the novel brain disease. A cluster of people are sick and nobody has been able to pinpoint what it is. Yet New Brunswick shut down the investigation and concluded no cluster had existed in the first place. In the same environmental vein, blue-green algae was ruled out. However, most of the affected people came from coastal regions in New Brunswick. Early on in the investigation, both federal and provincial researchers agreed that the leading theory as to the cause of the brain syndrome was in fact from blue-green algae toxins.
Is it most of the population by the coast though? Because if most of the population is by the coast and they're saying most of these cases come by the coast, that's maybe not a direct correlation that the disease is caused something by the coast. That's just where the population's found.
Yeah, Moncton's the most densely populated city, that and St. John. But Moncton was where most of the cases came from. To your point, both of those cities are coastal cities.
So definitely it could not have any relation to being by the coast. It could definitely be because of population. So the cluster of people was limited to 48. However, according to provincial representatives, significant referrals of new patients were coming from the southern coast along the Bay of Fundy. These people were not studied or examined by the oversight committee whatsoever. Moncton, New Brunswick, where 33 people in the cluster resided at the time, has a history with blue-green algae in their water supply. Research into this has been ongoing for years, and they annually update their findings. In 2017, there was, quote, massive harmful algal blooms detected in the drinking water supply for Moncton. Despite this seemingly obvious evidence, public officials drew no connection between blue-green algae and the mysterious brain syndrome. However, they did announce a $21.9 million funding project allocated to Moncton to research the impacts of blue-green algae on the water supply. Moving on. Between the federal and provincial levels, researchers had good working relationships with each other and held regular weekly meetings to discuss what was going on. On May 6, 2021, the meeting that day and all subsequent meetings were canceled between federal and provincial researchers. The explanation as to why was that the province wanted to cancel these meetings until they reviewed the existing cases themselves. This is a direct reference to the formation of the Oversight Committee, the same oversight committee that ended the investigation in February of 2022. The canceling of the meetings was so abrupt, it left the federal researchers baffled. When asked why it ended so abruptly, they were told that the province had changed directions a couple days prior to the meeting. The cases were to be reviewed more thoroughly before engaging other experts, and that meetings would resume when they were ready. The meetings never resumed. Essentially, New Brunswick Public Health pushed out the Public Health Agency of Canada. As I stated earlier, New Brunswick Public Health said that the only cases that existed were those in New Brunswick. However, it was found that there were referrals from other provinces such as Ontario, Quebec, Saskatchewan, as well as internationally. When asked about these cases, New Brunswick's health minister said she was unaware of cases from other provinces. There were even emails that clearly showed a lack of communication from New Brunswick public health officials in other provinces as the referrals came in. Even the World Health Organization got involved as they were concerned about international cases, and there was no follow-up from the province that is publicly known. What I think is most shocking of all was that New Brunswick refused funding from the Canadian Institute of Health Research, or CIHR, for researching potential environmental causes of the brain syndrome. Prior to the abrupt changes on May 6th, the province was arranging field research to be conducted, and any further progression of these plans were canceled alongside the federal meetings I mentioned before.
Why would you ever refuse money?
There was a two-stage $5 million funding project that was essentially being dropped in the lap of New Brunswick, and they said, no thanks.
Now we're good. We're okay.
An in-depth article was published that alleged Minister Shepherd had intentionally shut out federal experts from the investigation into the disease. In an interview with a senior scientist on the syndrome investigative team, they stated that the highest levels of the New Brunswick government had taken over the investigation and had told the federal authorities to stand down. Experts fully equipped for an investigation of this kind were inexplicably sidelined. The scientist also talked about the autopsy result and stated that in similar situations, autopsy findings where patients had other known health problems doesn't exclude the possibility that there is a new disease. I believe this to be critical here, as the final report does not mention any specific reason, just a number of different possibilities. The scientist also expressed their concerns that the autopsy results would make the province not follow through with further investigations, which is exactly what happened. Minister Shepherd was asked in an interview why federal experts were removed from the case, and she said that since all of the cases were only in New Brunswick, not anywhere else, it was up to the province and the province alone to deal with it. She also stated publicly that she does not believe there is a cluster. This abrupt conclusion and doubt that there was a new brain syndrome at all frustrated patients and their families. To this day, they have no answers to what made them sick and what they have. Apparently, more cases are still surfacing, but nothing is being done about it. The province stopped counting new cases back in April of 2021. Despite the investigation being closed, Dr. Marrero tried to bring more attention to this as he claimed he has received over 100 new referrals and is unable to give these people the help they need due to a lack of resources. Patients in the cluster, the original cluster, are calling for a new investigation. Dr. Marrero urged again the government to look into glyphosate as the cause. One patient in particular in the original cluster got testing done for glyphosate, and the results were shocking. In the patient's system were very high levels of glyphosate and other herbicides. The last thing that was heard from the government was that the letter from Marrero was being reviewed. So now we wait.
Is glyphosate a widely used pesticide throughout other regions?
Yeah, it's the most widely used one in Canada. And there's a company that's responsible for like forestry. It's called J.D. Irving. And they use glyphosate quite heavily to maintain forests all over Canada and in very large areas. So it's a big industry.
The fact that it's not affecting anybody else besides this one region.
That was the thing I found to be quite weird. The health minister was completely oblivious to cases in other communities, and the World Health Organization, as well as the Public Health Agency of Canada, reached out to New Brunswick and they were essentially ignored. So to me, what it seems like is a very big control move on New Brunswick's part to just keep everything controlled just in that province and to not, like you said earlier, spread like a mass hysteria. So take what you will from this episode. We don't mean for it to sound like a conspiracy. We were not part of this investigation. However, when the information is laid out in front of us, there are some alarming things that jump out. At the end of the day, the people who are affected with some form of illness are suffering and still have no answers. Should they suffer in silence or should they be heard and something be done? I'll let you decide.
Let's get into the theories. Let's start with some like kooky theories because those are always fun.
You start with the kooky theory because I've read too much into this, so I already have formulated what I think is actually going on. So as the first time you hearing it, what are your impressions? What do you think is going on?
Well, you said you don't want to make it seem like a mass hysteria, but maybe that's all it is. Well, it did leak into the media and they released that information to the public. There's no answer to what this is. And you know, human nature, you're afraid of what you don't know. And they say that you draw what you fear towards you.
A lot of hypochondriacs out there as well.
I work in healthcare, dude. I see it all the time.
Well, I definitely could agree with that, because if there's no definitive answer in this case, it could be just a simple case of that. These people are experiencing other symptoms. So when the autopsy was done, for example, the neurologist that did the actual autopsies, he concluded that they might have dementia, they might have Alzheimer's, they might have other different diseases, which could have been the cause of death, but nothing's been pinpointed. And they were all different from each other in terms of what he found.
Everything is so vague in terms of symptoms. And I want to talk about this neurologist who's finding all these cases.
Dr. Marrero?
Yeah. I want to know if Marrero has ulterior motives. What if he's trying to be like a hero doctor? Like what if he wants the glory of I discovered something new? Maybe it's his own ego looking for something to connect together.
Yeah. When I first started researching this and I read kind of just a quick summary article, that's the way it was presented. And a lot of the articles are presented that way, that Dr. Marrero is basically at fault here and he's the only one who is seeing this trend, essentially, which is really difficult for somebody in his position, because if he's trying to do whatever he can to help and everyone's telling him that you're full of it, basically.
Do we know what his character was?
I have no idea like the type of person he is, but from the limited clips that I've listened to in his interviews, he seems like a very genuine person. All he wants to do is he wants to help these people and he wants to make them better. But it could be exactly like what you said. He could be trying to be this hero. I don't know.
There are doctors out there like that. I've met a few. So what do you think it could be?
Honestly, I think it's to do with glyphosate. So in another article that I went through, there's actually a medical student in New Brunswick that has been looking at the case and he works with Dr. Marrero. He is calling for a new investigation as well because of the glyphosate issue. So something that I also found in my research. So glyphosate in general, you need to apply for a permit to use it basically, and you have to get approved by Health Canada. If something like a novel brain disease pops out and is linked to glyphosate, and like I told you before, J.D. Irving, there's a huge industry for forestry and spraying all these trees and crops and everything. If they were to lose that, that would take a huge economic toll in that area specifically. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, it seems like they didn't want to look into that because it could potentially impact the economy. Jim Irving, the CEO of J.D. Irving, has spoken out in an interview and said that if glyphosate was banned, it would be disastrous. The article for this can be found in the show notes, and I urge you to read that if you are considering glyphosate also to be a cause.
Gosh, I sure hope that's not the case.
That's just what it seems like to me. I've read the articles, I've gone through, I've done my research. That's the first thing that pops out to me. As for the blue-green algae, it has been a consistently increasing problem as the years pass. So the water supply that goes into, there's different water reservoirs. As I mentioned before, the water reservoirs are tested regularly and they found that there's an increased amount of neurotoxins in the water supply from BMAA, blue-green algae, domoic acid, and there's also some other ones in there, but all of them have been linked to neurodegenerative disease. So that could be a cause as well. And the fact that they're putting $21.9 million into researching BMAA and its effect on the water supply is quite telling.
So is there just a higher concentration of this stuff in these people's water?
Yep.
All right. Well, this case makes no sense.
It started as multiple people experiencing this novel brain syndrome, expanded to 48 people. People were in agreement that, yeah, something is happening here. Multiple institutions believe that as well. And then all of a sudden, New Brunswick Public Health just pulled the rug out from everybody and said, nope, nothing to see here.
We sure hope that they find a answer and a cure for these people, because how hard is that to have a disease that nobody knows what's going on?
10 people have died, potentially more at this case, but I haven't been able to find any new information. The last article was published in like 2023, and that was the woman who got the glyphosate testing done, and it showed that she had extremely high levels. And that's the last that was pretty much heard of. There's a petition actually being signed by that medical student to try to reopen the investigation. But as public health said, they're reviewing Dr. Marrero's letter. And that's the last that was heard of.
Okay, then.
So hopefully some information pops out soon.
And that is the case of the mystery New Brunswick disease.
The unknown neurological syndrome of New Brunswick.
That's what I meant.
All right, that's going to end the show for tonight. If you have any ideas or want your story featured on the show, please email us at strangeandundecided@gmail.com.
Hey, you never replied to my email on there.
You didn't send me an email. Thanks for listening.
And good night.